Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm.
Lunch with Norm.
And we are broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So yesterday we got our okay to live stream live on LinkedIn. So I did a bit of a happy dance. And yes, you don't want to visualize that, but I did do that. And so we're happy to be on LinkedIn for the first time broadcasting live. All right, Kelsey, so what are we supposed to do?
All right, follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest. We're on everything. And we also have a brand new website, lunchwithnorm.com. All of the guest bios, latest episodes will be up. And we'll be releasing even the older episodes that we've done before this. So look out for that.
All right. Geez, that was very good, Kels.
No, I'm getting better.
Yeah. Oh, and it's Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands.
Yes.
So that's the new title as well, or the new, what do we call that? The new show name. Yep. Anyways, like Kelsey was saying, all the past episodes are going to be re-released. We're going to be doing it in hyper mode, so you're going to be seeing either 5 episodes coming out instead of 3 each week until we get caught up. Once that happens, you'll also be seeing the show notes and the links of any books or whatever the guest reference in there as well. That's okay, right. So I think that's it for today's updates, except you can see the full episodes on YouTube and, or, and we would prefer this, if you join us, live on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at noon Eastern time. So that's it for the updates.
Yep. All right. So who is our guest today?
Our guest is a friend of mine. I've known him for years. I've got to mention that this is the wildest introduction that you've ever heard of. And it's all true, but wait to hear this. And if you can beat this, put it in the comments section. But anyways, Todd's an amazing guy. He runs an amazing business. He actually was on I Know This Guy. And that's my podcast about really interesting people. And I got to tell you, it's going to be published in about 2 weeks. But if you want a full emotional, like from one end to the other, a full 180 on emotions, you got to listen to it. It's one of the best interviews I've had so far. So today we're going to be talking about Amazon Wholesale. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the comment box.
That's right. We want to have a conversation with you guys. So if you have any questions, like give us your thoughts about Amazon Wholesale. Have you tried it? We just want to build a community with you guys. So even just mention where you are in the world watching, that'd be great. We want to hear.
All right. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. So now I get the pleasure of introducing my friend, Todd Snively. How are you, Todd?
Hey, Norm. As always, I couldn't be any better. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, I'm going to jump right into this because, this is an interesting story. How we met. Why don't you tell people the craziness behind how we met?
I still laugh about it. I actually still tell people this story, too, because it was so much fun the way we met. We were both down at this convention, Amazon actually mastermind, I think it was, in Mexico. I think it was Acapulco. Yep. And we had a mutual friend down there. Matter of fact, she's been on your show, I believe, also, Elena Saris.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A dear, dear friend, wonderful person. And one of the great things about Elena, one of her superpowers, is she will bring people together that need to be brought together, right? She just knows, right? So she had been like introducing me to people all day. I was wicked tired and, I'm an old guy anyway, right? So probably 9 o'clock night or something, I just rolled back into my hotel room and just collapsed on the bed. My phone won't stop buzzing and it's Elena. And so finally, I answered and come out, meet this guy. He's amazing. You guys need to get together. And I'm like, no, Elena, no. I have like zero interest in meeting anybody else today. I'm going to bed. And she's like, no, you got to come out. Come on, please come out. I'm going to come pound on your door. You need to meet this guy. I'm like, no, I'm just not going to do it. So I went to sleep. And the next day was the last day. And it was kind of funny. You know, everybody's packing and they're getting on the shuttles. And I got on one of the shuttle buses to go to the airport. And, you know, there were a few interesting people. And there was some discussion, you know, on the shuttle on the way to the airport. And I believe it came out at that point right then and there that you were the guy I was supposed to have met last night. But we get off the bus and I start walking to the terminal and, you know, I see behind me, you're kind of following me and I get in line at the airport, you know, to check my bags. I look behind, you're like in the same line I am. I'm like, what is going on with this guy? Right. And we get on the plane and we're on the same plane. It turns out you're going to Canada. I was going to Detroit, but you were changing Detroit. We literally walked on the plane behind each other. And I thought we were going to be sitting next to each other for a second, but you were like, I think a row in front of me or two rows in front of me. It was just like, how does that happen when we couldn't even connect in Acapulco at the same convention, but we end up like two rows apart on the flight home.
And the funny part about it is we never knew each other's names until we were actually on the flight, because you kind of, you know, we kind of looked back at each other and like you were looking at me like I was your stalker or something. And that's when it was, oh, you're Todd. And anyways, you never know. It's a small world. Networking is awesome. But I thought
we broke bread together and, you know, it's great. Cause if I had not had the chance to meet you, it truly would have been my, you know, missed experience. Because you're one of the nicest guys in the business. And
well,
I don't know
you.
Beard or what it is, but I just think you're, you know, there's all kinds of people in just all kinds of businesses, right? It's not just this online thing. But when you meet the good people, you know, those are the people you want to meet with and stay connected to.
Right.
And I truly have you on that short list. So I'm
and
glad
vice versa. You
connect.
Okay, Todd, so the big question of today is Amazon Wholesale. So most of the people that are talking today are going to be, or that are listening today, are probably going to be Amazon private label sellers. So can you tell us a little bit, well, first of all, how did you get into Amazon and did you jump into private label or wholesale?
It's kind of funny. When I first found out about Amazon, was 2009. And at the time, I was selling customer return goods, had been doing that since 2002, mostly on eBay and my own web stores. And I was buying these customer return goods from a large liquidation company called liquidation.com. And I was just buying good deals. I wasn't looking for anything specific, you know, spending anywhere from 5 to 10 cents on the dollar for regular consumer goods, kitchen stuff, you name it, lawn and garden, boring stuff. I like to call them unsexy products. Well, one day, one of the sellers that I had bought a pallet from, the pallet showed up and every single box on this pallet was an Amazon box. So I started opening these boxes and all of the customer returns that people were sending into Amazon were basically coming through liquidation.com. It's one of the channels that they'll use to get rid of customer return goods. And I realized all of a sudden that, well, wait a minute, people bought this stuff on Amazon. I wonder if I could sell this on Amazon. I had no clue in 2009. So I went on to Amazon, poked around a little bit, looked at some of these products that I just purchased for 10 cents on the dollar, a lot of them almost brand new, and realized you could sell used stuff through the Amazon FBA program, and people could get prime delivery on this used stuff. So I discovered this whole underground marketplace, if you will, that I didn't know existed. This was complete accident. I never thought about selling on Amazon because I was so much on my path, my web stores and eBay. right? I couldn't imagine another channel where I could do better. Well, then I came across Amazon. We started selling the used goods through FBA, properly describing them and whatnot, and meeting all of the rules and regulations of Amazon with respect to used goods, and could not believe not only how fast they were selling, but how much money we were actually getting for them. You know, we found this subculture on Amazon of people that would never pay more than, not a penny more than the lowest price. And even if the lowest price was for a used good, so it might have been, say it was for $100 brand new, and they could get it for $94 because it was an opened box, they would spend the $94 every single time, the subculture on Amazon. And remember, we're paying 10 cents on the dollar and selling on the average 85 cents on the dollar for used goods. So it was pretty cool. We did that for years, and it's kind of a weird thing to say, but we grew too big. Okay, we were doing millions of dollars a year in these used goods. I had 26 employees. I had assembly lines within our warehouse of people analyzing the condition of the goods, and we ran into a problem where not everybody could agree what used like new was, or used good, or used acceptable. And this created customer service issues. Somebody would get something and say, hey, you said this was just missing the owner's manual, but it was missing the owner's manual and this tiny little screw. Like, oh. So we weren't always catching everything. And so we got to the point where I was able to sell that portion of the business off. And I decided that it was going so well on Amazon that I was going to start just selling brand new products. So I was talking to my landlord, and it's kind of funny. I won't go into this whole story right now, but I ended up leasing about 3,000 square foot of space inside a huge warehouse, like 150,000 square foot warehouse. I had a little 3,000 square foot, used to be a parts room. It was completely empty. They didn't know what they were going to do with it. And I was able to make a really sweet deal with the owner who I had become friends with at the time. And so he asked me, he says, all right, you're going to transition out of the used goods. You're only going to sell new goods. Where are you going to buy these new goods from? And I said, well, I'll just have to find distributors, you know, and sell these and make deals for name brand wholesale products. And he kind of chuckled. He goes, well, why don't you sell my products? And it was kind of funny because I'd have been in his warehouse now leasing from him for a couple of years. I didn't even know what he really sold. So I said, well, what kind of products do you sell? And so he walked me around his warehouse, and it turned out he was in the turf business. And that's just a funny way of saying he carried a lot of lawn care products, but he specialized in golf courses. So we were walking through his warehouse, and I was seeing things like Roundup and garden hoses and, you know, golf course paraphernalia, miscellaneous accessories and fungicides and obviously grass seed and all that. And I said, ah, okay. And so I made a deal with him to purchase wholesale. And he was the very first distributor that I ever ended up working with. And I found out it was easier in some ways to sell the name brand products brand new, but I still have a love, and I still sell used goods, customer return goods on a smaller basis, because the market for those are incredible. I mean, inventory levels, you will never run out of used goods to purchase. There's just so many of them. You just have to know how to do it correctly and have a nice system in place and not get so greedy where you grow a monster, right? But the wholesale, that was my first intro into the wholesale business, right? Now, at the same time, I created my first, I like to say I accidentally created my first private label product back in 2009. And what it was, I had seen all this grass seed sitting in his warehouse. And I mean, 50 pound bags of every kind of grass seed you could think of. But he also sold bent grass seed. And a bent grass seed is what golf courses use to make the greens and the tee boxes and even sometimes the fairway. It's a special grass seed. And that was sold in 25 pound pails, right? And so I had this idea. I don't know why. I just said, I think people maybe want to make their own putting green in their backyard. I kind of a niche area. But on Amazon, I could not find anybody selling any bent grass seed or any putting green seed or anything like that. So I sat down at my computer and I said, I'm going to make a product on Amazon. I'd never done it before, right? I didn't even know it was called private label at that time. So you know that little add a product screen that all the private label people are chuckling at me right now. I know they're like, oh, what an idiot. But this is how I went. I went to add a product, started at the top, you know, come up with a SKU and my price, and I got down to brand. I said, brand, what's supposed to go there? I guess this is kind of like my brand, right? So I came up just on the spot, came up with a name to put in for the brand and put it in there and just kept going so I could finish filling out the add a product form. Well, that bent grass seed, I did no advertising, I did no launch, I did no PPC, but that bent grass seed sold so well, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I had asked my friend initially, I said, is there any way I can buy just like 5 pounds out of that 25 pound bucket? And he chuckled and said, no, you gotta buy the whole 25 pounds. Well, that first 25 pounds sold the first day. The first day sales started to come in. It took it a few days after the listing was made, but I guess people were searching for putting greens, home putting greens, bent grass seed or whatever. And I just said in the right keywords and the thing just took off organically because there was pretty much zero competition. So basically I had accidentally invented a private label brand, but it put a thought in my mind. It's like, wow, if grass seed like this, bent grass seed is selling so good, I wonder what other kinds of seeds might sell. And I thought, maybe vegetable seeds, maybe flower seeds. So I went to my friend who owned this distribution company who had helped me out so far. And I said, hey, buddy, I said, do you know any wholesaler that I can buy vegetable seeds from? And he goes, sure, call this guy. All right, fine. So I called this guy. And I'd already done some research, right? And I found out who all the online competition was and who the big boys were. And I called this supplier and I said, I'd like to buy wholesale from you. And he said, why? What are you trying to accomplish? I said, I want to beat this guy and that guy. And he goes, huh? I said, what? He goes, well, they're my largest customers. And so I said, oh, okay. I guess I kind of blew this call. And he goes, no. He goes, it's okay. He said, they both pissed me off last week. So I'll tell you what, he goes, I'll work with you. And it was kind of interesting because in the normal seed business, these people, the people that buy the seed, they buy all of their seed in a whole year. They'll say, give me 20,000 pounds of this, give me 50,000 pounds of that. And that's what this guy would do. He'd make the contracts with all the farmers, get these seed contracts, right? And then he knew how much he had to sell and he would sell it. Whereas I was saying to him, can I buy like a pound of this and a pound of that and, you know, this and that? And again, completely outside of his normal business model, but we worked it out. So to test, I bought 1 pound of beefsteak tomato seeds, you know, the huge, big red beefsteak tomatoes. Yep. I bought 1 pound of seed, cost me $19. And my middle daughter and I sat at the kitchen table and we literally measured out, you know, 20 seeds in an envelope, you know, I mean, which is weighs almost nothing. If I remember, yeah, it was like 250 milligrams, maybe. I don't know. I might be getting those numbers wrong. Anyway, we made 1,000 packets of tomato seed out of the 1 pound of beefsteak tomato seed and sold it on Amazon under this new brand I had created and made net profit of $1 per sale. So we made $1,000 net profit on a $19 investment. And I said, oh, Amazon, I love you. This is amazing, right? But that was all the private labeling I had done was under that one brand. And now we have over 350 different seed varieties. We do 90% of our business through our web store. And, you know, it's still on Amazon. But what happened, and I'm not sure I can fully explain this other than to say that the people that buy seeds are such amazing people that they have a high level of loyalty and they followed the brand. So I accidentally did this brand in 2009, multi-million dollar a year brand off of Amazon that's still growing. And I feel bad because I've basically, I don't want to say I've ignored the brand, but I've done nothing to grow it. And my dirty little secret is I've never grown anything in my life. And I own this huge seed company now. But to go back, so that's my private label pedigree, if you will. I have launched a few other private label brands, but I'm telling you, I don't know, it was tough and expensive. And when I discovered the world of wholesaling, already selling name brands, my life got a lot easier, easier. And so at that point, I just started to figure out how to contact specific brands and large distributors and just find out what it is that they were willing to sell to me, and started analyzing. I created some software and started analyzing these files, which is something I had always done with the customer returned goods. I'm a big numbers geek, of a bit of a nerd. So I really like technology stepping in and doing these really wicked hard tasks that are super boring. And anything I can't do with technology now, we use virtual assistants, because it's, I mean, if their eyes bleed, it's their eyes, right? I just get the end result. So that's an awesome thing too. But wholesaling is, it's one of those business models. I don't think people really look at that hard, because there's so much of a push out to do private label. Everybody sexes up private label, right? And now remember, this is the guy that's been doing private label, accidentally or not, since 2009. And I have a decent amount of experience. Just real quick, one of the other private label experiments I did was, and this will sound wacky too, because they're products I've never used, was mascara, eyeliner, and one of those eyebrow curlers, eyelash curlers. So we made a brand, right? And who'd we go after? We're after Maybelline and Revlon and CoverGirl. And after about an $80,000 PPC spend to get on page one, I realized how difficult private label can really be.
Right.
And put all of my efforts into wholesale, you know, and built up a wholesale business, you know, that was doing, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars in top end revenue, with average margins of 28% a year. So that's kind of my passion. And a lot of people, it's kind of interesting, a lot of people poo-poo on it. They think of every negative thing that there is about selling wholesale name brands, yet they neglect the negative thing there is about dropshipping, or every negative thing there is about arbitrage, or every negative thing there is about private label. Every single model has its warts, and it has its attractions.
Hey, I just see that with press releases. You know, everybody's got the negative against, you know, oh, they don't work, they don't do this. Oh, just a quick second, Todd. Just wanted to give a few shout outs to Liz Cassidy. How's it going? Steven, oh my gosh, I was just on your podcast. How's it going, Mr. Pope? Cash, glad to see you. Isabella, how are you? And we've got Scott and we've got Rob. So just a quick shout out to everybody, and thank you for joining us live. So, hey, Todd, so you started to talk about, and we're going off in the direction of, okay, you're selling brands wholesale. I want to just step back one step backwards, because some people might not know what Amazon wholesale is. Can you just explain that before we go forward?
Absolutely. And this is, I actually get excited talking about this, because I think some people might actually finally have a light bulb go off. You know, everyone thinks that Amazon has 12 million products. You see that number all the time. Amazon has 12 million different products. What they're really saying is Amazon has 12 million products that Amazon actually sells on. there are close to 500 million name brand products on Amazon that anybody can buy that Amazon does not sell on. All right. So these name brand products can be small brands or everyday brands that everybody has heard of. And Amazon as a marketplace allows anybody, for the most part, to sell anything, for the most part, that they legally can purchase. Okay, that's how the marketplace came into existence when third-party sellers were allowed to sell on Amazon. It was basically, hey, if you bought something legally, we're a marketplace, you can list it for sale. And what's interesting is they came up with the model of, I call it the UPC database. Amazon's really nothing but a search engine, and it is based on UPC. So if you take any kind of name brand product, and we were talking about the Perrier just a little earlier before we went live, it has a barcode. And if you enter that UPC barcode into an Amazon search box, the Perrier should come up. Any product, that's what should happen. That's how Amazon works, off of barcodes. They have their own FN SKU and ASIN system, but the base level is barcodes. So every product has a barcode. Any product with a barcode should be able to be sold on Amazon. If it doesn't have a barcode, you usually got to buy one, and that's when you're usually talking private label. Okay. So the other unique thing, and this is what I'm most excited about, is Amazon's multiple sellers. All right. So if you ever really, really look at a name brand listing on Amazon, it should have multiple sellers. It should say sold by in the buy box, right? The person, when you hit the add to cart, that is selling that product. But if you look down, there's other sellers. And it'll tell you right there, there's 15 other offers. There's 87 other offers. There's 3 other offers. All right. So what is this other offer thing all about? Amazon, since about 2013, has been working on what they call a rotational system amongst competitive sellers. All right, so that's a real kind of a buzzy of thing that Amazon wants as many competitive sellers on every single product that they can get. Why? Why does Amazon want multiple sellers on all these different products? To provide a better experience for the customer. You know, this is, and I'm going to go down just a real quick rabbit hole. You know how when they came out with 2-day prime shipping, like almost like everybody in the known universe signed up for this because it was free 2-day shipping? Nowadays, everybody's like, I can't believe it's going to take 2 days to get my product, right? So now Amazon went for 1-day shipping, right? And then after that, now they're doing 1-hour delivery in certain areas. And this is all kind of pre-COVID, all right? But here's how they can do this. If they get the right number of competitive sellers on every single product, they can properly have those products warehoused around the country to allow the 1-hour delivery to the majority of the country. All right, so how does that really work? First, understand a competitive seller is somebody that has the product generally at an FBA warehouse, and is priced within, say, 1%. Of the lowest FBA sellers. So if you have a name brand product that's already selling 1,000 units a month, and there's 10 people that are all selling it for $19.99, and those 10 people are all FBA, theoretically and generally in practice, each one of them will get 100 of those 1,000 sales. It's a rotation system, all right? And it's generally pro rata. It's generally 10%. If there's 10 sellers, it's generally 10%. Generally, all right. There's a lot of exceptions to this rule, but we're just talking high level right now. So it doesn't matter if you literally, it does not matter if you have been a seller for 1 day or 10 years or 12 years, like me. Okay. As long as you are deemed competitive, which means FBA and within generally 1% of the buy box price, you can get a share of the sales of an already existing product. And I just said there's like 500 million products that like so, that.
Okay, I didn't know this. No clue. So I just picked up a little nugget. So you're telling me I can go in, find a product, list it, and it's going to go through this rotation. I had no idea that Amazon would do that. I always thought it would be price driven.
No. Now, Amazon used to have what was called, and actually I think they might have just changed the name of it. It was called the Featured Merchant Program, and this is back in the day. Okay. The Featured Merchant Program was kind of a king of the hill type of a thing. So if I found a product, a wholesale product, and I was able to buy it and send it to Amazon, and I was like, I had the most feedback, the highest percentage of good feedbacks, you know, I had good metrics and things like that, Amazon would award me the buy box. I was like the featured merchant. And only way I would come off, I would have 100% of the sales. And the only way I would come off is if a stronger featured merchant came along, a stronger seller, and dinked me off. They would add their offer to that product, and it could be the same price. It could be FBA, but they might have 10,000 more feedback than I did, and some of the other metrics that Amazon won't talk about. And next thing I know, I'm getting zero sales. I'm the number two guy, and this new chunky monkey's on top of his chest, laughing at me. Well, Amazon figured out that that was not good for the customer, not good at all, because this guy would, you know, the prices would tend to be higher that way, and only it was a bully system is what it was. All right. So Amazon did a lot of research in this, and they made their long range plans. They are not a stupid company. They are an innovative company. Say what you will about Amazon. All right. But at the core of it is innovation. And so what they figured out is, you know what? If we just let a bunch of people on that product, we can put product all over the country, tell them where to send it. Right. Whoops, sorry. And they'll invest in the inventory, not right. They're buying the inventory. They're sending it to our distribution centers. And this way prices will stabilize. And if one guy runs out of inventory, if he was the only guy in that listing and he runs out, that listing's gone. Now, if you have 10 people constantly sending down inventory, it makes for a better experience for the customer. And the reward to the seller is a percentage of the sales, a rotation, if you will, of that buy box. Okay. And that's the high level. That's the high level, you know, opportunity. Now, just like any other opportunity, there's like 1,000 other things that you need to know. Many other things, because I know there's a lot of people that have done this or are doing it that are sitting there going, yeah, but. And like I said, you can do that on any business model. But the thing is we have all the yeah, buts figured out. And when we explain these yeah, buts, you know, people do the same thing when they hear about the opportunity. They go, whoa, I didn't know it worked like that. That's pretty cool. And then all the yeah, buts get dealt with. Right. People give the model a go, and they fall in love with it like I do. Because if you think about it, you never have to test a new brand. You don't have to buy a boatload from China. You don't have to deal with customs fees. And, you know, I like private label, right? But it's a different animal. And people that are looking to get started into Amazon, my personal opinion is they should take the path of least resistance, the least risk, that has the chance for a real decent reward. We average 28% margin. And I know private label sellers are going, yeah, well, I got 300% margin. That's wonderful, right? But we could do all the yeah, buts. Yeah, but how much did you have to invest? Yeah, but how long did you have to have your money tied up? That's the other thing, by the way, that I really like about wholesale. There's a number that some people ignore that's in their Seller Central account, and it's inventory turns. If you go into your manage inventory in your Seller Central and down into inventory planning, in the upper right-hand corner, there's two numbers: average days on hand of inventory and inventory turns. And an inventory turn is the number of times you would literally sell through your entire inventory in the course of a year. All right, an average private label seller, it's 2 or 3. Which means they might invest $50,000 in inventory and get that back two or three times a year on average. My inventory turn number is 28.6, which means if I'm spending $400,000 a month on wholesale inventory, I can get that money back and spend it 28.6 times that year. Same money. I don't have to go back into my pocket. I don't have to wait 6 months to get my investment. It's coming back to me 28 times. And like I said, I'm a number geek, right? The return on investment becomes darn near infinite when you're looking at that same money earning you 28% margin 28 times a year. It's crazy. So the amount of money that can actually be made, and I mean real money, a return on investment, is almost infinite in my mind with wholesale, because you're only buying enough inventory to cover that turn. You're not buying 6 months worth. And people ask me that all the time. If you have a really, really good seller, wouldn't you buy 6 months worth? I'm like, nope, not on your life, because I want to turn my money. I don't want it to sit for 6 months. So the other thing that you can do, and I talk real fast, I'm sorry. If you need to stop me, stop me. But the other thing that I love to do is when it comes time to reorder that, say that one item, a blue widget, a name brand blue widget that's selling really good, I like to reanalyze and see if I can't move the money that I would have spent on that blue widget into a red widget that's going to even perform better, higher margins, faster sales velocities. So now this same money is working for you harder, right? And that's what I think money should do for you. They're like little soldiers you send into battle for you. And the better tools, the better you can train them, the better you can take care of it, the better return it's those little money soldiers are going to get for you. And you can't do that with private label. You really can't pivot like that. With wholesale, I can add new products every single day. The only thing that limits me is my budget. How risk adverse am I? You know, things like that. And, you know, I've built up a really nice business, and now I'm getting to the point where I figure I have maybe another year or two before I sail off into the sunset and turning the business over to my daughter, who's been running it for me for 8 years now. And matter of fact, my business, my wholesale business, has been outsourced 100% for almost 6 years, maybe five years. So I really don't do anything in the business anymore other than get up in the morning and read my financials for about 10 minutes, my P&L and my balance sheet, just to make sure that the ship's still going the way I want. But I'm not actively building the business because I'm really, really happy with everything that's in place.
Yeah.
And like every entrepreneur should have, like every Amazon seller should have, I have multiple streams of income. I have five different streams of income. So the Amazon wholesale, 100% on autopilot, it's doing great. My risk level is right where I want it for my age and my goals and everything else I have going on. It runs itself. It's one of the few businesses you can actually 100% outsource. And because it's so replicatable. I mean, we have a full set of SOPs now that we give to the new people, and that's the extent of training. You know, everybody's supervised by somebody. And
somebody, I've got a question about you. We talk about those winners that you have. So you've got your red widget and your blue widget. They're selling, you know, $100,000 or whatever. Then you have the purple widget. So the ones that don't sell. So isn't there a risk that you're buying all this inventory, small quantities, and a lot of it doesn't take off?
No. Here's how you minimize that risk. All of this is software driven. All right. So here's the scenario. Let's say you want to sell pet supplies, and there's a huge pet supply distributor called Bradley Caldwell. All right. So you go to Bradley Caldwell and you open an account with them. And the very first thing you ask them for is a list of everything they sell. And distributors, that's what they do. They make deals with hundreds of brands, bring all these brands into their distributions in large quantities. And then they turn around and resell as a wholesaler to the retailers, whether it's a brick and mortar store, an online store, an Amazon seller, eBay, it doesn't matter in most instances, okay? There's some brands that don't want to be sold on Amazon, but that's a about or what if or whatever. But anyway, so once you have this list, I have a piece of software, and there's other softwares like it that you can, matter of fact, mine's called Wholesale Inspector. All right. So anyone can go get Wholesale Inspector, run a list, an inventory file through Wholesale Inspector. And what Wholesale Inspector does is it analyzes the list. There could be 18,000 products on that list. And Wholesale Inspector goes to Amazon, figures out what the stuff is selling for. It looks at the BSRs. It looks at velocities. It looks at everything you need to know about those 18,000 products. And then it gives you a result file, result report that you can sort by highest profit, highest margin, number of units, estimated sales per month. You can crunch all of that data and decide what you're going to invest in. Now, let's say you remember, all of these products are already selling. You're not buying something that is unproven, that has no sales record. Many of these products have been selling for years. It's a supply issue. It's a logistics play. Matter of fact, if I had to put it into a 10-second explanation of what Wholesale Inspector does, it finds products that need additional competitive sellers on Amazon, and you can take a share of those already selling profits. Because remember, Amazon's goal is to maximize the number of competitive sellers. So you might run into a product where there's only one other competitive seller, but will eventually have 10, and then it's tapped out. You want to be one of those 10. You want to be one of the maximum number of competitive on as products as you can. And with respect to risk, so your analysis says, hey, this product sells 100 units a month. That's your estimate. Based on all of the data that you have, you figure that thing's going to sell 100 units a month. And based on the data, there's two competitive sellers, all right? So if you're the third, you're going to get one third of the share of that profit. So you become a competitive seller on that. Where's the downside? More competitive sellers will come around and take additional share. But remember, this is going to happen eventually on every single product for sale on Amazon, right? So what determines how much money you're going to make is where and when you come into the life cycle of that product. You come in right at the beginning, you might ride that product for 2-3 years before it gets maxed out. You come in the middle or towards the end, you might only ride it for a month or two. Because as a product gets closer to the end of its life cycle on Amazon with respect to the wholesale buy box rotation model, the sales will grow exponentially. Because what happens is when you first find out about it, there's not a lot of organic search results. It's only doing 50, 60, 100 units a month. People start to buy it. It starts to become more popular. It rises up in the search results. As it rises up in the search results, you're going to get more sales. As you get more sales, it's going to get on the radar of more wholesale competitive sellers. And then eventually it maxes out and you end up with your minimum share of those sales. So it's still profitable, but you've gone down in how profitable it is, right, on an incremental level as time goes on. Every now and then you get what we call the clown that shows up, and they do what we call a buy box crash. So this clown doesn't know how to play in the wholesale model. And he'll get on one of your listings that you've been sharing the buy box with six other people with, nice and friendly for the last 6 months. And the clown comes in and thinks he has to have all of the buy box. So he tries to figure out, how can I get all of the sales from this product? And the only tool he has is to lower prices. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is we know how to deal with clowns, all right? Because you're always going to find the clown, okay? We know how to deal with clowns. It's part of the model. Because people will say that all the time. Oh, that's just a race to zero, all right? Well, maybe on a small percentage of your overall stable. Our model is to go wide, not deep. I would rather have 100 products all selling, 10 units a month than 1,000 products, just selling, one product selling the same amount every month. Mm-hmm. I'd rather spread it out. That way you spread out your risk, mm-hmm. right? And you'll have a lot steadier of an income. And then you grow based, you can scale based on your budget. So that's the only limitation to profits with the wholesale model, is how much do you want to invest in products, right? And if you finance, see, I kind of finance, but I do it with credit cards, okay? And before everybody goes all Dave Ramsey on me, all right? I have never paid a penny in interest. Every one of my credit cards is a cash reward credit card. And last year I received $117,000 in cashback credit card rewards from Capital One, Citibank, and Chase Bank. So here's a model where you don't even have to use your own money. Now, not everybody has resources like that, right? But even if you have to start with like actual cash money, right? You can grow. And it's very important, those cashback credit cards. If you guys do not have the cashback credit cards and you're running a business, you're missing free money. Right. I put everything I can think of on those cards.
I do too.
Yeah. Now, do you get the miles or do you go for the cash?
Well, it depends. But right now, no travel, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
I got another question for you. So let's say that you're into private label, or you've never been involved with Amazon ever. How do I reach out to my first distributor? Where do I find them? Let's say that you are 100% new to this. How can I find a distributor to work with?
There's a lot of ways to do that. Just like anything, I think it comes down to what your personality will tolerate. I know people that the only way that they'll sign up with a new supplier is through trade shows. And I'll tell you, trade shows sound like an unsexy thing, but they tend to hold trade shows in really nice places, Las Vegas, New York City, Chicago, not in, and I'll apologize to anyone that lives in Des Moines, not in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay. So you're going to go to a nice place when they're having a trade show. For the most part, everything's deductible to your business. So if you want to go to Vegas for a week, attend a trade show, you know, go play some golf too, or eat at a nice restaurant or whatever. And the other thing about the trade shows is when you go there and you make a connection, they generally have trade show specials. So you're going to get an extra 10, 15, 20% points right off the top, you know, with your first order when you go to a trade show. So I like trade shows. Okay. Cause I like to travel. I miss not going to them now. And there's so many huge ones where you can just like walk in. And if you don't walk out with just a ton of money, because something's wrong. Because remember, you make your money when you buy, not when you sell, right? If you can make that great deal up front, that's when you're making your money. The 20% off special at a trade show using 2% cash back on a card. I mean, that's how you make your money when you buy. Now, for people that don't like to do that, you know, you could actually even just go to a trade show website, a directory. Like, for example, I mentioned pets earlier. Let's stick with that. There's the International Pet Expo in Orlando every year. They didn't have it this year. It's usually in March. They put their exhibitor list right on the website. You don't even have to go to the show. You literally can pay a virtual assistant to pull the list off the website for the trade show and just contact them all that way. And there's like four or five questions that our VAs will ask. Every one of our leads goes into a database. So it's always in there. If somebody talked to a potential supplier 5 years ago, it's still in my database and all that information is there. And that database is like gold to me. But one day, you know, because we've been training people on how to do this for almost 6 years now. One day I decided I wanted to become a distributor of my own, because we had people that we were consulting all the world who were having trouble signing up with distributors, either because of the time difference, language barriers, accents, heavy accents, or just not even having the right documentation. So I actually started a distributorship company, and we call it the Wholesale Buying Club. And so we have over 1 million name brand products at wholesale prices in this Wholesale Buying Club. So generally what people that we work will do is take a portion of those. It's because it's broken down into different categories and whatnot. They'll take a portion of those, run them through Wholesale Inspector, and they purchase through us. So then it comes to our warehouse. We inspect, we prep, and we send down to their FBA account. And this is how people all over the world are doing wholesale without ever having to see a product, talk to a distributor, set up their account, get a tax ID or anything, because it's all done through our entity. But let me give you another way to do it also, because a lot of people just want to do this on their own, right? They don't need the training. A lot of people that are already selling on Amazon, if you're already doing private label, I'm telling you, man, add the model and you don't need me. All right. You can do this yourself. You know, you can literally go online and just search things like a pet supply wholesaler. And you might have to do a lot of research and a little digging. This is why I like the trade show route. Mm-hmm. But then you just call those people. And remember, they're in the business to sell stuff. Now, some of them have their own requirements. Some will only sell to brick and mortar stores. Okay. Back in the day, I used to go into brick and mortar stores. Do you have like a toy? I went into this one toy store. It was one of these boutique toy stores in a quaint little town I lived in. And I went in, the owner's working the register. And I said, do you have an online presence? No. Do you sell on eBay or Amazon? No. Would you sell to me if I bought from you in bulk? Would you sell to me at a discount, knowing that I would turn around and just sell the stuff online? I made a lot of deals that way. So now here's somebody that's hooked into a toy distributor, right? That maybe never would deal with me because they only sell to brick and mortars, and all of a sudden I'm buying $10,000, $15,000 from this toy store owner through her account, and she's just marking it up 5% to me. Because she has to do nothing. And I told her, well, this is like having your own online business without having to do anything, you know? So there's so many ways to find these distributors or even specific brands. You know, goodness, just go on Amazon and see, one thing that Wholesale Inspector will also do is identify these brands that aren't selling very much. And you might look at it and say, well, why? This is a decent product. Why wouldn't it be selling a lot? And then you go and you find out they just don't know what they're doing on Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have a clue about image optimization, headline optimization, bullet optimization, right? They don't have any keywords in the back end search or anything. And you literally can just contact that brand, right? Even using the Amazon messaging system and say, dude, you know, you can't be doing very well with a BSR of 2.2 million. You know, why don't you make me your authorized seller, contractually obligated? I'll buy from you at a certain price, blah, blah, blah. And then you go in and you optimize that listing. You do some PPC. I've even had brands give me hundreds of free units for the purposes of marketing just to get additional velocity on their brands. So I think private label sellers actually have kind of a huge advantage over somebody that's never sold wholesale before, right? Because they know Amazon already. Mm-hmm. They know how to optimize a listing. They know how to recognize a listing that needs optimization. So all of a sudden now, but it's not your product, right? This was the big pushback I used to get. You know, why would you help that guy out? That's not your product. I said, because I have an exclusive marketing agreement and I have no risk, right? And we become partners. Literally, you know,
I got a question on that, and we are winding down in a few minutes, but if you've got, okay, so let's say you go over to a person that has a horrible listing, you want to be the exclusive. All right. So you sign the exclusive on Amazon. You're the only other person there. So there's two people on the listing, either him or you. Is that correct?
Correct. Usually just you. Yeah.
So they'll back off completely and then it'll just be XYZ distribution. Okay. Right. So I guess one of the things, I don't know, this is more of a comment. I guess you have to protect yourself if that private label person is selling to a wholesale distribution network and then they're taking it and bringing it onto Amazon. I've seen that happen where all of a sudden you've got an exclusive right to a product on Amazon, but the person or the company is selling to two or three distributors, bricks and mortar, which are then going on to Amazon, even though there may be a seller's agreement, retail sales agreement, that they're not allowed to sell on Amazon. So I have seen that happen. How do you defend that? How do you stop those people from selling against you?
Yeah, contracts are only as good as the people signing them, right?
Right.
So generally, you have that understanding contractually that you are the sole source of distribution. They shouldn't be selling to anybody else. And if they right. currently are, they stop. So you know that there's a period of time where you may have some competition, but it should drop because nowhere else to buy that product. You are the sole source on Amazon to sell that product. Now, if they come around and say, well, we still want to sell to the brick and mortar stores, right? So what's to stop one of them then from coming like onto Amazon? There's a few ways to deal with it, but generally working closely with the brand, you can figure out who's doing that. Mm-hmm. And if the brand is super serious and they enjoy what you're doing for them, they will go to that person and tell them to knock it off, right? We'll stop selling to your brick and mortar if you keep giving product to your brother and your brother lists on Amazon. There's a lot of ways to do this. The transparency program is probably one of the better ways. Because only the products that are going to be sold on Amazon will have the transparency barcode. The ones that go to the brick and mortar won't.
Okay. That's a great idea. So now we're at the end. What's one thing that you can let us know about? I'm just trying to see here. You've given us so many really great nuggets today and just general information. I've been learning a lot, Todd, but is there anything else that you can leave us with?
Make the decision to outsource sooner than later. You will be able to scale so much faster if you just let go of things right now. If you think you're the one that can do the bookkeeping, you think you're the only one that can optimize the listing, you've already lost. You need to change that thinking and start outsourcing, okay? Go to FreeUp, go to Upwork, certain things, Fiverr, and make it your job to figure out how much you can actually immediately begin outsourcing and do it.
Fantastic. So the big question, Todd, other than thank you, is how do people get a hold of you?
We have a website. Our overall brand is called Expert University. And so they can go to expertuniversity.com and should be able to get a hold of us and see what they need to see at that site.
All right. Fantastic. So that is it. What a great show. We're right on the hour. So thank you very much for joining us today. And I am very excited about our LinkedIn guests. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And join us every week on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. For the whole posting, it should be up shortly. There'll be shorter clips up on YouTube and the other social networks. But Kelsey, tell us what we're supposed to do.
All right. Follow us on social media. We just got a brand new website, lunchwithnorm.com. So if you are interested in watching or listening to the podcast, you can find us there. And if you enjoyed the content, please like and share, as every time you like the post or share a post, others see it, and then we can grow the community. So,
and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow a community, not just in Amazon, but online, grow a business, bring in incredible brands and micro brands, social media. It's not just about Amazon. It's really how to build your business and other options like Todd today with wholesale. Not enough people are talking about it. So next week, starting Monday, we're going to have another great guest, Emma Schumer-Tamer, and she's going to be talking about listing optimization. So please remember, it's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at noon Eastern Central Time, or Eastern Central's time, the Eastern Standard Time. So thank you, and thank you, Todd. Lunch with Noah.